put you on record there too, so
okay.
Careful what you say. Okay. Good morning. Well, this is it's a very special church to us. We get to see you guys like any other the churches that supports us every 5 years. So every 5 years we get old, and every 5 years our family increases, and it's good to see the family here at this church increase as well. Well, I'm going to do a PowerPoint presentation for you. Then we'll do the message, and I know we have till 12, so we'll 12. Let me do that first. You ready, Mike? Up there? Okay. I'll use this mic over here. Well, the Lord is, it says there are Philippine word of, in Indonesia. There's no Word of Life Indonesia. Word of Life director Don Locke sat with me as he visited Philippines. He said, John, would you and your wife like to pray for Indonesia? Apparently, Word of Life has been praying for volunteers or people to go and start up the ministry in Indonesia for the past 23 years. So we are removing ourselves from Philippines. We are going back there next year after 1 year of furlough, 2016. And from there, we will try to establish Word of Life or Indonesian ministry. So that's our plan as we start out. And how are we going to do that? Well, next slide will start showing us. We are your Word of Life missionary. John, Sheila, David, Nathan, Sam, and Abigail. Abigail was just a baby when we came. Do you remember that trip we took here? The night, Friday night, we took off from New Jersey, cruised around 71 miles per hour. I forgot about the 65. We got here late, around 2 o'clock in the morning. We had Saturday to see Niagara Falls. We were staying somewhere near the falls there, and it was around November, right before Thanksgiving. And we got in the car, and we were about to park at the park there in Niagara Falls, and the car won't move. And I stepped out, and I saw the front right wheel just folded. And we brought it to the Goodyear here, and they said, you guys, someone was looking after you because the car should have rolled the night before. The very next mile, we drove it, and the wheel fell off. And we presented to the church, and we praised God because the church met afterwards. Actually, I wonder what happened to the leaders and Pastor Eric, because I don't know if they got raptured and we were left behind. But we were ready to go, and he came out of a meeting, apparently, and he said, John, just give us the ticket of that bill, and we'll take care of it. So we truly appreciate it. But that is just one of many ways the Lord protected us in our travel. I don't know if that happened, that we would be here talking to you. That would have been really a bad accident. Next slide. Why the youth? Well, we found out, same as in Indonesia, all around the world, 9 out of 10 who trust Christ do so before the age of 25. Well, I'm an exception, unlike maybe some of you. I got saved at 32, so you never get too old to get saved, amen? Next slide. Why the youth? Were 89% of those in full-time service committed their lives before the age of 19. We just came out of Word of Life ministry in Scroon Lake, and majority of the missionaries, majority of people in the staff of Word of Life, they were people from the island when they were teenagers. They gave their life to the Lord, and a lot of them are serving the Lord. Next. Then we found out a third of the population of this earth, including Philippines and Indonesia and in the U.S. of A., 32% of the population are under the age of 15. So that's why the youth. Our focus is the youth. Many organizations focus on tribes or rewriting the Bible, Wycliffe, from a language to understandable language that they could read in that particular part of the world. But our focus is reaching the youth for Jesus Christ. Next. Our passion is taking the truth of the word to the youth of the world. That message never changes, but this world keeps changing. But our message is truth to the world. Next. It's a worldwide evangelization and discipleship of youth and to strengthen the Church of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. We are a parachurch organization. We come alongside the church to help the youth grow. And I was told by Word of Life that there was a Word of Life missionary that came by here to promote Bible Club ministry. I don't know when that happened, but that's Word of Life. Its focus is to reach the youth and to disciple the youth. Next. How to reach Indonesians. There's three ways we're going to reach Indonesians. Word of Life is an organization, aggressive evangelism. Well, you can't do that in a Muslim country. Indonesia is about 90%, almost 90% Muslim. And so we're going to do it in an enclosed environment. One way is SYME. This is the school for youth ministry in English. All around Southeast Asia, there are English schools. So we're going to do an English school, and the English school has this. Next. 8 months of English immersion program. We're going to teach them English through the Bible. We're going to have lunch together, and then we're going to have discipleship in the afternoon. And it's 13 topics on Christian discipleship and leadership. Next, that's one way we're going to reach local church ministry. That's not love, courtship, and marriage. That's local church ministry. I see you guys didn't get that, but okay, I'll just continue. Under Word of Life, in the Philippines, I am under a local church ministry, so I know this ministry inside out. One way we could help the young people grow is through their quiet time, scripture memory, teaching them doctrine, teaching them how to serve by maybe reaching other Indonesians. We're going to disciple them and have leadership training for the next generation. So that's the second way, SYME, LCM. And the third way we're going to do it, next slide, we'll have spiritual retreats. So again, in an enclosed environment, in a school retreat, church retreat, work retreat. They have no camps in Indonesia, believe it or not. All they have are resorts, so we do retreats there. And we preach the gospel, again, in an enclosed environment, not an open, because it's not an Indonesian law. In fact, Indonesia has asked you to talk receive five religion. We'll talk about that later. But we cannot, in front of a Muslim, share the gospel anywhere, except in an enclosed environment. So we can do seminars, discipleship, and counseling, and camp programs, sports. My wife is not too much involved in LCM in the Philippines because there's not much really what she does there, but she could do there. But in sign, in LCM, and in retreats, she's involved. So she's really looking forward to these three ways we could reach the Indonesian. Second, next slide. This is Indonesia. There is a line, if you follow the line zero, line zero is the equator. So you talk about hot. I know today is kind of hot, but this country is hot. Even though it's the earth tilts, it's still directly right at the sun, whether it tilts up or it tilts down. Jakarta is where the star is. That's where the capital is, and that's where we'll park ourselves for the next few years. It's made out of 17,000 islands. Philippines up there is only made up of 7,000 islands. So this is spread out islands, and to reach them, we have to go island to island and go city to city. Next slide. These are the Indonesian people. Not much difference there with the Filipinos. We go up to them and really cannot tell because they came from the same race as we did, Malay. So one way I ask is, do you eat, I know maybe some of you go grossed out here, especially Dennis, and I know they have a dog, but one way we ask, for me, is do you eat dogs? Because if they say yes, they're Filipinos. They said no, they're not. They're Indonesians. So sorry for those guys. These are stray dogs, Dennis. It's not really. These are anyway. These are not pure. They don't touch purebred dogs. The kids on the left are the Muslim kids. We're gonna, of course, spend time sharing with them in an enclosed environment. The kids in the middle, half of Papua New Guinea Island is Papua New Guinea to the right, and to the left is Indonesia. So their skin is darker. And then we have also, just like Philippines, we have all these festivals. These are some of the pictures. Next. Again, 17,000 islands, which 6,000 islands are inhabited. So if you want to buy an island for yourself, go look up Indonesia. 6,000 haven't been touched yet. 5,150 kilometers is 3,200 miles. It's almost like crossing the U.S. To the left is the Indian Ocean. To the right is the Pacific Ocean. We have to say this because most American churches will know where Indonesia is. They said Southeast Asia means next to Japan. No, that's further down Southeast Asia. To the south of us is Australia. To the north of us is Philippines and Vietnam and Thailand. Next. Population is almost 260 million people, which 58% of them lives in the island of Java. Very crowded city. Next. These are allowed religions in Indonesia. 87, majority are Muslims, 6.9 Christians, but you go there, you got the Jehovah Witness, they consider Christians, the Mormons, the different beliefs other than the Bible-believing churches. And you got Catholics, Hindu, and Buddhists. These are allowed by the government to, for them to pick a religion, but majority pick Muslim religion. And on the top are the Buddhists, young people. At the bottom are people from different parts of Indonesia, but they're Christians. They're holding a Bible. To the left is a Christian Chinese girl. They're much taller. And we're thinking these three girls on the right are from the island where Papua New Guinea shares the same island with Indonesia. And then you have the Muslim girl. Next. This is, you talk about traffic. I know you don't see traffic in Lockport, I know. Maybe you'll see it for a minute. But here, it's really funny with that picture because you see a lot of motorbikes. I guess people cannot afford cars, so the majority of them have motorbikes. It's really funny about that is the traffic is really horrendous and it's hot. On the right-hand side is a cop's car that gets surrounded. You know, everybody's got their own lanes now. And that's the typical of one thing you notice when you jump, when you fly into Indonesia is, first of all, it's Muslim. You feel the Muslim, you hear the Muslim prayers, and then you're gonna see traffic, lots of people. 10 million of them in the capital of Jakarta. And in the rain, we don't get the typhoon like the Philippines, but we get the monsoon rain. And Jakarta is concave. So when it starts raining, it starts flooding year after year. So it's really a city that really needs reconstruction, really. Next. What could you do? You could pray for us as we first came about 10 years ago when you first invited us to come. One of the things that we said, Word of Life will not allow any Word of Life missionary to leave the country unless we have 100 prayer partners. In the back, we have a very small table there, or a big table with sign-up sheet. Some of you are already receiving it. Some of you are not because you changed your email, so we put another slot there, Facebook, if you have that. Some people are kind of not on and off or off on Facebook. Well, it's one way for us to contact people from the other side of the world since we're in Southeast Asia. So you could put your Facebook there and your address and your email address. Pray for us. Pray for the salvation of the Indonesians. We're not saying pray for the people of Muslim religion, because we found out Indonesia has five different religions. Muslim and say they're all extremist Islam. These are Muslim people that hate that, actually. And they're people who need the Lord. So you pray for us. Next. Pray for us as we pioneer Word of Life Indonesia. This is raw land for Word of Life. And then next, pray for the doors to be open. Next. For you to consider partnering with us. I know the church is already partnering with us, and we praise God for you. This is the only church that opened up out of all the churches in Buffalo area. And we praise God for you all the time. And please, I'm mindful that we pray for you as well. Next. I want you to pray for these five Indonesian students. 3 years ago, three Indonesian students came. Last year there was two or three, I think. And then this year there are five. That's important because since we are pioneering Indonesia, we need the next generation of Indonesian Christians to be the leader of Word of Life Indonesia. If you are desiring to give to maybe one of the students, let us know and we'll make sure it goes straight to their tuition. Jenry is to the left. The two girls actually are twins. They just don't look alike. Michael is the one we're really praying for. He's very smart, well-educated. All of them are college grads, by the way. They're teachers. Next. And then would you also consider financially partnering with us as we try to reach the Indonesians for Jesus Christ? And we broke it down to the next slide. Next. We're asking that people could partner with us to 20 people, $50 a month, or 10 people, $100 a month. We are asked to raise $2,000 more a month. Right now we receive $920 every 2 weeks, so we're getting 400 and some odd. In the Philippines, our rent is 150 a month. In Indonesia, they have compounds. Muslims love to have just compounds, wall residence, and it starts about $800 a month. In Indonesia, by the way, the rent is yearly. And in Indonesia, $100 goes to 1.3 million rupiah. So if you want to be a millionaire just for vacation, come to Indonesia. You'll be a millionaire for the 5 days or whatever days you're there. So please consider. And next. Or you could go. Sign needs you. We need teachers. Next slide. We got this straight from Wall Sign. Someone has said, if you want to find out what God is doing, join Him. We are seeing God to do some amazing things in Asia through volunteers, serving as English teachers and ministry trainers. Whether you are a college grad looking for an opportunity, maybe a couple of months you want to teach English and be and have a special relationship with Indonesian, woman to woman, man to man, and reach them for the Lord and help them grow in the Lord, have that type of relationship, that'd be awesome. Or a family in the middle of career change, or a recent, someone who no longer works or retired, looking for a way to invest your life in Asian young adults, we invite you to join us. Come. Three ways. You could pray for us, you could continue to support us, and then the third way is to go, come with us. Those are the three ways, and those are the updates. Again, please find time to write down your name and your information so we could contact you and keep you updated on what's going on with the Abraham family. Okay, let's open our Bible. I got a few minutes here. Oh, it is 12 o'clock already. I want to talk to you about the power of God's presence, the power of God's presence found in the book of Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 33. I'd like to open this message. I know a lot of you knows Gary Larson. He does the cartoon, The Far Side.
He did a boat scene that we're going to talk about in the message in Matthew chapter 14. It kind of opens it up there. And the picture, the first picture shows 100 men in two rows, 50 in each row. And they're watching a ship come into dock. And the ship has 50 holes in each side and 50 oars. And a guy named Gronk, who's big in physique but kind of just short in mental capacity, yells out, "How does it work?" And you're looking at the picture, you're seeing that, well, it works, but you getting on the ship and every one of those 100 men to pick up an oar and start pulling and pushing and start moving the ship. All of us are in service for the Lord. All of us got on our own ship. Us, as being missionary, Word of Life Philippines, we've been on that ship for the past 8 years. But before that, for a long time, since we got saved, we've been on the ship on a local church in our home church, Global Harvest Fellowship in Bayonne. I've been there since I got saved. In the past 8 years, again, we've been serving in another ship at Word of Life. But not everybody gets on the ship. We get saved and people are not growing. Somebody said that the church is made out of two types of people. One are pillars that holds up the church, and some are caterpillars that just come in and out of our churches and not really growing. Those are the makeup. You know, one thing that we notice as Word of Life missionary, and we visit churches and we pray for the churches in America. There's churches that we're not going to visit this time around because they're not existing anymore. They have sold the church. There's no more church in that particular area. And so we pray for the churches. And so why does people not get on the ship? Why don't they get involved? I think some of the reason is they really don't know God. They got saved. They know they're going to heaven, but they haven't grown in the Lord. They're still drinking the milk of the word, not eating the meat of the doctrine of their faith. We had a great Sunday school today regarding the book of Romans. And if you want to know your doctrine about the faith that you're in, come early and go to your Sunday school and continue learning about God in the book of Romans. Or we just forgotten the promise of God. We're scared and we're just completely forgotten the promises that's listed, hundreds and thousands of them. Or something that we're going to talk about today, just forgotten the power of God's presence in us. You know, restoration will follow and the person will find himself back on the boat and serving the Lord. And we know God is a God of a second chance. He comes, he brings us back and restores us in the fellowship. What keeps us going? Well, Matthew 9:37, as missionary, says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few.'" Word of Life is asking for us to have three families. Two are ready on the boat. One is us, the Abraham. The other is somewhere in Buffalo. We dropped off yesterday. They're presenting their ministry to a church, Delaware Avenue Baptist Church. They, again, went through Google, posts all the churches. Only one church called them and said, "Could you come and present the ministry?" Another verse is Matthew 13:38. "The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom." The sons of the kingdom. The question is, how about us? Why are we not on the boat? Why are we not growing the Lord? Why are we not serving our local church? Well, Matthew 14:22-33 gives us another boat story. And it says this, and you listen, and I will read. "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves of the wind, for the wind was against them. And the fourth watch at night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered them, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. I always say, how do you see wind? I guess he felt the wind and he saw all the splashing and also saw all the waves. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, You of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, we just bless your word. Bless your word, Lord God, into our hearts. And as is spoken before, and things that we learn, Lord, we may find it applied in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What happened before this? You know, when you read the Bible, you have to read what happened, the verses before. I always ask questions when I read the Bible, because here the Lord says in verse 22, he went and dismissed the crowd. He went and dismissed the disciples himself. And well, what happened? Well, because what happened before, he was feeding the 5,000, and the disciples before that said to the people, or to Jesus, "Let them go home and feed themselves, and then perhaps come back." And Jesus said, "Well, wait a minute." Jesus had the compassion. He said, "What do we have? We have all these loaves. How many fish we have? We have this much. Stand back and we'll feed them." And that's what happened. So I guess, you know, you're saying, well, why did Jesus do that? Well, the Bible is silent, but I'm thinking, well, maybe he trusted them before to do something with the crowd. And what did he say? What did the disciples say? Just their thought is to get rid of them. Jesus, in doing the ministry of feeding the 5,000 and what's about to happen with Peter, he need to go and pray. And I think that's one of the great lessons we have before we do the work of the Lord in anything. I mean, before we leave in the car, we pray. Before we eat, we give thanks and pray. So we found out here, man has limitation, but God has great expectation. I think the first thing that we notice here is that Christ's presence, as we focus on Christ's presence, on why sometimes we don't get on the boat, on why we're not growing, is maybe we've forgotten Christ's presence. And today we're going to be reminded that Christ's presence is in us. Because it's in us, we're assured of personal preparation. I picked out two words there that's very important: presence and preparation. Presence, the first. Well, I think the Bible speaks highly of God's presence in us and how important that is in walking with the Lord. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. Your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." You know, sometimes we see so many Christians with just their head down, no joy in their life, forgetting the presence of God in them. Exodus 33:14 said, "My presence go with you, and I will give you rest." There was a girl who left Word of Life Ministry in the Philippines, and she said, "You know, I've been struggling with growing in the Lord, as if the presence of God has left me." I said, "You know, it's not all about," she's saying that she needs to go back to Word of Life. I said, "It's not all about the place. It's all about the Word. Be reminded of the presence of God. We start reading the Word of God." And then preparation, how that is important as well. Because to be in God's presence, he is preparing us to do great things for him. And there's much preparation. In Proverbs 24:27, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. You know, coming here, we prepared ourselves. Had to prepare two messages, prepare ourselves, prepare the children with their camp gears and all that stuff, and prepare the car and get that change oil. So there's great importance of the Lord when he says, to be in the presence of the Lord, we have to prepare. And the Lord's preparation was for him to dismiss the crowd, dismiss the disciples. So that's preparation to be with the Lord or with his Father to go to pray before another ministry. Proverbs 16:1-3, the plans of the heart belong to men, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of men are pure in his eyes, in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. So commit your word to the Lord, and your plans will be established. So the first point that we have pointed out is Christ's presence is assured by personal preparation. It's something that we have heard before, because without the Lord in doing the work of the Lord, we're doing it in our flesh, and we just look for somebody to pat our back and say, good work. As a member of Global Harvest Fellowship, and being an architect before I became a missionary, I did a lot of work in my hands, so I was the guy in part of the leadership that works around the church. But I was really careful always to not do it because for the eyes of men. I always pray to the Lord, Lord, let this be for you. Let this be honorable for you. Praying to God the Father in his presence is always a first step in preparation to do God's work. And then in verse 24-26, Christ's presence conquers fear. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat. I've been in a boat. I don't know, in the lake here, we've been fishing here, but never on the boat. So I don't know how the water is, but just a little wave gets me going, gets my stomach going. And we left Long Island with my brothers early one morning, and the water was just quiet and pristine. But once we passed the tip of Long Island, open water to Atlantic, it was 6-foot waves in a clear day. And I remember spending 3.5 hours while my brothers fish in front of the toilet in the boat. I said, Lord, take me now, because I got nothing else to throw up. And then I'm looking at another 4 hours of boat ride coming back. So they actually dragged me or tried to carry me to the car. I was totally gone. I was dehydrated. Well, the Bible, again, is silent about the disciples getting on a boat, and it didn't say that there was a storm brewing. When we went to Israel, we were at the foothills of Sermon at the Mount on the northwest of the Sea of Galilee. And Dr. Bramer, who's the leader of the Jewish study in DTS, I was with a DTS group, said, I'll stand at the shore. In the afternoons, the wind picks up. So you guys spot yourself all over the Mount of Sermon at the Mount. And sure enough, we heard his voice because the wind carries it. But that wind could be very, very strong coming out of the other side of Sea of Galilee. And this just came up to the disciples. They didn't know. Sometimes trouble in life causes fear. It happens unexpectedly. You know, I just lost my great aunt, my aunt Lily in the Philippines. My uncle said she went pretty quick. We praise the Lord for that. We praise the Lord that she's with our Lord in heaven. But these are times where it kind of slows us down and tells ourselves that we're not in control. God is in control. And sometimes we'll go through these hard times and missing somebody and so forth. It could be something else that you're going through. But we never know it's going to happen. Storms in life. These disciples didn't think that it's going to come, but fear came to them, and actually two fear. One fear is that they thought they saw a ghost. The Lord finally came up on the fourth watch. If you study the Word of God, the fourth watch is around 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. So it's almost dawn. And the sea rose, and Jesus starts walking on water, and the disciples feared again. And what did Jesus said? He said, "Take heart, do not be afraid." What are we mostly afraid of as a human being? We're afraid of dying. What has to happen? Jesus Christ had to come, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, to defeat death. So we shouldn't be scared of dying anymore. Well, these disciples, they're not really there yet, and the Lord even rebukes them later on in the four Gospels that their faith is very shallow. Indonesia can be a fearful place for start a ministry. We see it. I was talking to Dennis late last night, and as a father, as a leader of the family, you know, the family is sold. They're ready to go. Wife is there, hand in hand. But as a leader, you put your family in harm's way, and Indonesia is not, it's a raw land, but yeah, it is a Muslim country. Yeah, I know our fear is not all Muslims are extremists. I know that. But it's still a Muslim country. And person to person, human being to human being, there's kind of a fear. But we know that if God is in it, in fact, our director in Pacific Rim talked to me. He said, "John, this is plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go do this through SIM, through school retreat. We're going to evangelize them through local church ministry." And I said, "Is there a plan B in case this doesn't happen?" And he said to me, "Yes, John, do you believe God is in it?" "Yes. If God is in it, then there's no plan B. This is how we're going to do it. This is how our focus is going to be." And sometimes, you know, there's a quote here. It says, "There's no way we will sense the presence of God in our life like taking an assignment he has given us that you're terrified about." That's true. That's true. But when we walk step by step and let him lead us, well, then he strengthens us and then he encourages us. And remember Mary in Luke 1:28, she's the mother of our Lord, and she was kind of frightened. How's that going to happen? And the angel said, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you." So we're not going to think, well, walking down the street, is this car is going to explode? Or walking by a Muslim, is they going to kidnap us? The fear is there, yeah, but we know also the Lord overcomes fear. So we'll serve the Lord. We'll leave Philippines where we got comfortable again. I was sharing this to Dennis and his wife. And, you know, 2006, the Lord removes us here. We were living an American dream. Professional architect, professional nurse, house, two cars, a young family. And the Lord says, "Nope, take you out of Global Harvest Fellowship and put you back in our homeland in the Philippines." So we served the Lord 8 years. Now we developed a ministry there in Manila. Now he's doing it again at the age of 53. You know, there's some doubts there. Yeah, I gotta say that, but the Lord is with us. So why do we fear? And this constant reminded me, this is a message really for me, and I hope this is a message for you. Christ's presence conquers fears in us. And then Christ's presence stirs up hope. Peter's hope was stirred. He could be saved by the presence of Christ when he asks, "Lord, save me." But before that, Jesus said, "Come," and it reminds me that to be God's service, you need to commit to come. God initiates the calling, but it's up to us to say yes or no. And my oldest son is here. When he was only 2, he was walking around the table while Sheila and I are contemplating about going. It wasn't an easy decision. Even now, it's not an easy decision. But he was studying the book of Jonah, and I remember what he said. He said, "Mom, Dad, we better go or we'll get swallowed by a fish." Good theology. If you disobey the Lord, not many good things are going to happen in your life. So we went. Peter's obedience was to walk in water. Someone says, R.T. France said, many doubt Jesus walking on water. They said there must have been a sandbar or a hidden reef. Matthew's depiction solidifies the scripture where Peter is sinking, Jesus continues to walk on water. The faith which can move mountains would have kept Peter safe if he had not allowed his obedience to Jesus' call to be overwhelmed by the very natural perception of the danger with the waves and the wind to which he was experiencing. It's an illustration. Here it is. Here's the lesson from that quote. It's an illustration of the vulnerability of disciple who allows doubt, the natural human perception or perceptive, to displace the faith which relies on the supernatural power of God. Sometimes we're so focused on the things that's going on as far as trials and tribulation in our life that we displace our faith. And here God is telling us, come back, restore. I'll restore you into the faith. There are natural human perspective in my part to expose my family, as I mentioned before, to this Muslim country. But my heart knows God is with us. Doubt and fear can displace our faith, but remembering the presence of God will stir our hope. What happened to Peter? He took his eyes off Jesus. He focuses on the things that's around him. And then he started sinking. He glanced at the storm and saw the wind. He began to sink. And not until he says, Lord, save me. The Lord kept coming. The Lord stretched his hand. You know, the Bible did not say they were right next to each other. They were walking towards each other. He started sinking, Peter. And the Lord kept walking and put out his hand. But he said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When we focus on the negativity, the world around us, we display our faith. You know, was that a month ago when the whole country now is, we're just talking about it, same-sex marriage? Don't doubt. God is in control. We need to only realize that whatever circumstances, the overriding fact is the reality of God in us. He has the power to do what he has promised to us. Don't forget the promises. Don't dwell on your trials. When we commit ourselves to the Lord and acknowledge him as the ultimate reality, we find an assurance that quiets our doubt and frees us from having a disobedient life. And then Christ's presence ceases storms. All of us go through storms in life, but we need to remind ourselves the presence of God. God is faithful. If God has been faithful for us in the past, he's faithful for us in the present, and he will be faithful for us in the future. I'm reminded of Isaiah, and I found this verse in chapter 43, 1 to 3, and verse 5. I don't have it on the board. If you have it on your Bible right now, look how many times he's speaking of you as a pronoun you. He says, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. In verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your servant. Fear not, don't be afraid, for I am with you. This is a verse that we're going to carry to Indonesia. What is he saying? What is Isaiah saying? He's saying whatever happens to you, whatever is going on in your walk with the Lord, remind yourself the presence of God is in us, is in you. Peter forgot it. And even though he denies the Lord three times later, the Lord restores him and remembers the presence of God. And then last, Christ's presence moves us to confession and worship. And the Word of God tells us, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, And those in the boat worship him and saying, truly you are the Son of God. You know, after it's all said and done, whatever we go through in our life, in the end, we know God's presence in it, God's is in it. We cannot help but worship the Lord. I mean, many of you praise the Lord for the things that's happened in your life. I praise the Lord for my great aunt. She's with the Lord right now. No more suffering, no more sickness. It's better. She's in a better place, and I praise the Lord for that. You cannot help but worship the Lord in times of trial, in the end of all that. So my closing is, what's causing you not to use by God in your local church? What's causing you not to share the gospel to your family and to your coworkers and friends? What's causing you not to say yes and send me, Lord, be a missionary somewhere else? Maybe this, what's causing you not to grow spiritually in the Lord? I think if you add this all up, the common denominator is sometimes we just forget the presence of God in us. If we will be mindful, if we remind ourselves the presence of God in us, God will help us up, get back on that boat, and start serving him anywhere, everywhere he wants us. Philippians 4:13 said, I could do all three things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great reminder. Lord, we pray that you bless these words to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.